Upper Room. My name is Caitlin, and I'm so excited that you are joining us today. We are continuing through our summer reading series. The past few weeks have been incredible as we have gleaned from some of Pastor Nathan's favorite books. If you would like to join us in person, we meet every Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. at our Beach Church campus location. We are continuing to go above and beyond to make sure we are complying with the CDC recommendations and providing the safest environment possible for you and your family. In addition to our spacious sanctuary, we have two overflow areas set up where you can distance yourself and still be a part of the service. So whether you're joining us in person or online, we're grateful for you. Thank you for being a part of Upper Room Church. If you would like to get connected or give a financial donation, please visit our website. You can also text "plug me in," one word, to the number 97000. Settle in and prepare your hearts to receive what God has to say to you. We love you, we're praying for you, and we'll see you soon.
Hello, Upper Room family. My name is Steve Rhodes, and I'm so glad to be with you today. We are currently in a series here at the Upper Room called Summer Readings. And each week we're picking a different book that has influenced our lives, and we want to share that with you. Some weeks, Pastor Nathan will be sharing, and some weeks we will have the authors of some of these books coming in and speaking. And today I have the awesome opportunity to talk to you about a book that has really helped me deal with my worry and stress over the past 6 or 7 years. The book is called How to Stop Worrying and Start Living. It's by a guy named Dale Carnegie. Dale Carnegie is really the forerunner of the self-help genre. He's influenced a lot of different authors, speakers like John Maxwell, Zig Ziglar, and several others. And I found this book 6 or 7 years ago at the Barnes & Noble. It was sitting on the bottom shelf of the discount rack, and I recognized his name from different John Maxwell books that I have read. So I went ahead and grabbed it. And in the past 6 or 7 years, this has truly helped me learn how to deal with stress, whether it's stress from day-to-day life or stress and worry from big decisions that I have to make. So the book was actually written in 1944, so it's 76 years old. So I think it's incredible that someone could write a book and for 76 years it could help people deal with stress and worry and anxiety, because I truly believe that principles are timeless. And I think this is a good time. I think 2020 has really proven to be a time that has been filled with worry and anxiety and stress. And we're left a lot of times wondering, what should I do? How can I deal with what I'm going through? And I'm picking just really one chapter out of this book, and it's chapter 2. And it's called The Magical Formula to Deal with Stress and Worry. First, I want to tell you, worry is a state of anxiety and uncertainty over actual and potential problems. So what that means is we worry about things that we're facing, we might face, or, you know, things that could eventually, if certain things happen, it could happen. And I don't know, but like I find myself worrying sometimes about things that really would never happen never really affect me, but I still would worry about those things. So worry is a state of anxiety and uncertainty over actual or potential problems. Now, the formula that I'm about to talk to you about is a three-step formula that was created by a man named William H. Carrier, who I think is one of the greatest men to ever live, because he is the man who launched the air conditioning industry. And on a day like today, I really believe that we could thank him for what he has done for us. But he's come up with a three-step program to analyze and to deal with his level of stress and worry and anxiety. So the first step of that, he says, I analyze the situation fearlessly and honestly and figure out what is the worst that could possibly happen as a result of this failure. So I think what he is trying to say here, what we can apply to our lives, is that we have to rationalize. We have to kind of remove the fear, and we have to honestly look at the situation that is before us. One of the worst features about worrying is that it destroys our ability to concentrate. One of the worst features about worrying is that it destroys our ability to concentrate. When you're faced with worry and anxiety, we got to find a way where we could slow down. And I think that I would say that facts eases emotions. When we try to look at the situation as a whole, and we try to remove our buy-in or our part into it and look at it from the outside, I really believe that we can really start looking at the situation as it is and not how we feel or how we think, or we lose that emotional connection to it. And we can really get an open, honest view of what we're worrying about. We have to truly look at the situation as it is, openly, honestly, and remove our emotional connection to it to understand both sides of what's going on. I think sometimes when we worry, we only look at maybe articles or we try to find facts that agree with what we're feeling. But I think that we kind of have to be like a lawyer maybe who is on the other side. And how can we look at what we're going through from both sides of the situation? Philippians 4, 6 and 7 says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." I think Paul is saying, listen, slow down. Process the situation with the Lord. Spend time talking about what the problem is. Talk about what you believe could be done and discuss all of this to the Lord. Spend time being quiet, listening to the voice of the Lord and letting him speak to your heart. Remember, we will have to ground ourselves from the cloud of uncertainty and think with a clear mind. I believe when we go to the Lord, we can make a list and say, Lord, this is what I'm worried about. This is what I fear might be the outcome. But then we turn and say, Lord, this is what I think I can do to help this situation. And go to the Lord as the great counselor. You know, the Bible says he's a physician. He's the great counselor. So I believe that we could go to him and spend time open and honest going, Lord, I don't know what I could do about this situation, but I want to spend time reflecting and thinking and pondering about this. But more so, Lord, I want to hear your voice in guiding me into helping me overcome the situation that I'm facing right now, that you could have your way in my life and I can grow and be discipled through this process. So I love that he wants us to focus on what could be the very worst thing that could happen, but it has to be a realistic worst case scenario and not one that we mustered up in fear. So Mr. Carnegie here says that we have to assume and look and see what is actually the worst thing that could happen out of this situation. And I know sometimes our fear and our emotions get carried away and we think the world is going to end, or we think that the very worst. But I think if we look at the situation and go, what's the worst that's going to happen here? Could it be I lose my job? Could it be that someone walks out of my life? The worst case scenario could be death. And but we got to look at that honestly and openly and say, now, if these steps happen, this is actually the worst that can happen. And we have to take note of that. And step two is, after figuring out what is the worst that could possibly happen, reconcile yourself to accepting it. So after we take a process of information and fact-finding and trying to get both sides of what's going on, we have to look at the worst-case scenario and we have to embrace it. And we have to say, you know what? If the worst-case scenario is I lose my job, then so be it. If the worst-case scenario for this is someone walks out of my life, or like I said earlier, it could be even death, we have to not bring that in and accept it grudgingly or in a way to where we just throw our hands up and we say, you know what, if I'm going to lose my job, I'm going to lose my job. It doesn't matter. But I think what he's trying to say here is that if you are faced with something like losing your job, you wake up in the morning, you get up early, you shave, shower, go through your routine, you put a smile on your face and you go to work anyways. And you go to work, you face that situation, you do your best, and at the end of the day, if you do lose your job, you're at peace with it. You understand that that is the very worst thing. So what I find interesting with this is that if we accept it, it removes the fear out of our life. That no longer do I fear losing my job. No longer do I fear someone walking out of my life. No longer do I fear death, but I understand that's part of the journey I'm on, and I work with it, and it removes that fear out of it. Because when you accept it, it removes fear out of the equation, and you have nothing left to lose. And this is tying in perfectly with the next step, step three. From this time on, you calmly devote your time and energy to trying to improve on the worst which can happen that you already mentally accepted. So you break down this process, you look at it, you go, this is the situation I'm looking at. This is the very worst that could happen. And now I accept that this is the worst that could happen. Now, if this does happen, how can I build on it? How can I build on this to make it something better? So we shifted our energy from fearing what may happen, and we've shifted it to building upon what we once feared. So let's look at it in this way. When we started the journey, we feared what could be a nightmare for us, but now we have shifted from fear to hope. We have planned a future and not a funeral, right? When we looked at the situation from the beginning, we thought the absolute worst. We thought the world was crumbling. We thought everything was going to be wrong with what we're facing. But now we've removed the fear, and we don't fear the situation that we're in, but we move into a time of building, of planning, of seeing that this may be the worst that's happening in my life right now, but I don't fear it. I'm going to build on it. And whatever that looks like, whatever that may be, I have a future and not a funeral. All right, Mr. Carnegie talks about a gentleman who was very sick. He developed ulcers in his stomach. He lost a lot of weight, and he was literally dying because of the fear, anxiety, and worry that he had in his life. So the gentleman mustered up all the strength that he had, and he said, listen, if I'm going to die anyways, I might as well start marking off some items off my bucket list. And he decided that he was going to go on a ship, and he was going to travel around part of the world that he always wanted to. So the doctor said, listen, you're going to die at sea. And basically said it was a terrible idea, but the man says, no, I'm going to go on this. So the doctor is actually pumping this gentleman's stomach twice a day to help relieve some of the acid and the pain that he had. So the gentleman packed his stomach pump. He actually talked to the ship captain, and he put a coffin on there in case he did die at sea. And so the man started on this journey. And a week or so into this journey, he started to forget about some of the stress that he had when he was back home. He actually started playing card games with people on the ship, stayed up late at night, started eating, and he actually rode through some typhoons in this journey he was on, and he never stressed and he never worried about it. He never worried about the storms possibly ruining the ship or shipwrecking them or killing them or whatever it may have been. But while he was in Asia, he had the opportunity to really analyze his problems against real world problems, as far as he took his stress of his business, of his job, and he started to look at it with the hunger and the poverty that was facing so many people in the part of Asia they were at. And he noticed that a lot of his worry was rather senseless. So he went on this journey, and during it, he gained a lot of his weight back. And when he got back, he said it was like he never even had an ulcer, and his life was expanded because all of the worry and all of the anxiety that he had that was literally destroying his body, once he got away from that, once he accepted that, yeah, death is a reality to me, he said, I'm going to do something and I'm going to live. You know, I've heard it said before that no one lives like a dying person. And listen, this is just chapter 2 of this book. So I want to encourage you to grab this book, look through it, read so many other countless ways that you can deal with your fear, your anxiety, and live. So now, Mr. Willis Carrier, his magic formula was so valuable and so practical, psychologically speaking, because it yanks us down out of the great gray clouds in which we fumble around when we were blinded by worry. It plants our feet good and solid on the earth. We know where we stand. And if we haven't solid ground under us, how in the creation can we ever hope to think anything through? So with a clear head, the situations that you're facing, what is the worst that could happen? Fact find. Find information. Try to get the complete idea of what's going on and try to say, listen, if this keeps going the way it's going, this is the very worst that could happen. And I think the hardest part in this whole three-step program is step 2. It's accepting it. Can I accept losing my job? Can I accept letting this person walk away from my life? Can I accept death? You know, can we accept these different situations? And there's so many other words that you could put into there. It may not be losing a job, may not be losing a loved one. Whatever that might be for you, try to analyze that. Try to get as much facts about that situation as you can and accept it. Say that this isn't the road that I've chose, but Lord, maybe this is your road. Maybe this is what you have called me to do. Maybe this is the season that you're calling me into. And Lord, even though it scares me, even though it does worry me, God, I put my faith in you and I accept whatever may come my way. And the Lord is going to lead you. And he is going to give you steps on how you can build on that worst case scenario. With a clear mind, when we are thinking logically, when we spend time talking to the Lord, maybe venting and listening to him, we can always move away from fear to future. We don't have to always plan a funeral. We could plan a future. I know times are tough right now, Upper Room family. I know 2020 has not been the best year that we could think of, but the Lord is leading you. The Lord is with you. And I want to assure you that your Upper Room family is with you today. We love you so much and we're here for you. Whether you're local to this area or you're watching from another state, another country, whatever it may be, we're here for you and we love you and you're not alone. And whatever we could do to help you through this process, we want to do that for you. So I want to pray for you, and I'm just believing God to do just wonderful things in your life and that He is going to use this time that you're in to build your future, to build a better time for you than what you're in now. So, Lord, we love you and we thank you, God. God, for everyone who is listening to us in their houses, Lord, they may be on their job, wherever they may be right now, God, if they're facing worry, they're facing anxiety, God, they have fear in front of them, Lord. We believe what the scripture said, Jesus, that you will give us the peace that surpasses all understanding. God, help us when we face these troubled times to really to analyze what's going on, to look at it with a clear mind, a clear heart, and a clear spirit before you, Jesus, that we could trust that no matter what we go through, no matter what we face, you're with us, you're for us, and God, you want to better us in every way possible. So Jesus, we just pray for everyone listening today, God, everyone watching, that you bless them. Lead them through these troubled times. Help them through these difficult decisions, Lord, because you are with them. You're leading us. You're loving us. God, and we thank you so much for everything you're doing. In Jesus' name. Upper Room family, I want to remind you, the book we're talking about is How to Stop Worrying and Start Living by Dale Carnegie. But you don't have to take my word for it. Check it out yourself. We love you.
Thanks again for joining us online today. Be sure to visit our website to get plugged in and to join a summer group. If you made a decision to give your heart to Jesus today, we want to hear about it, celebrate with you, and connect with you. Life is so much better when we do it together. If you would like to join us in person for church, we are currently meeting each Sunday at 10:30 a.m. at our Beach Church campus location. We would love for you to join us anytime. We hope you have an incredible week. We'll see you soon.